Today marks the second day in a row where we are hearing the recounting of Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Yesterday it was from the Gospel of John, and today it is from the Gospel of Matthew. There's two points to this Gospel and the betrayal of Jesus by Judas that I'd like to highlight this morning, one of which should give us a great comfort and consolation, and the other one should give us great pause and time for consideration and reflection. But the first point is this, that Jesus Christ in his passion, suffering, and death, in taking upon himself all the weight of the sins of humanity, he literally has suffered through every form of human suffering that there is. He has suffered in an incredible way physically by all of the hardships that he endured. He has suffered emotionally, and he suffered in his spiritual faculties of his intellect and will. In fact, the betrayal of Judas is precisely a betrayal of one who is a very close friend, one which we know is the type of betrayal that hurts all the more and is something which is particularly painful for people to deal with. But what it's a reminder for us is that whatever it is that we suffer through in life, Jesus has already gone through it before us, and he has been there and touched it, and in touching it, he helps to redeem and to heal it. And this for us ought to be a great consolation. The Lord has already walked in our footsteps, and he has touched and revealed every form of suffering that we may encounter, and in that, he gives us the grace and courage to be able to surpass it ourselves and to be able to unite it to his passion and cross, and thereby have merit in it. The second point, though, I'd like to highlight is one which ought to give us pause for consideration. And this relates to the sign of betrayal that Jesus is going to point Judas out with when he says, "The one who dips his hand into the dish at the Passover meal with me is ultimately the one who is my betrayer." It's of great significance that the betrayal of Jesus takes place at the Passover meal. And further, in the Gospel of John, the Eucharistic overtone is going to be highlighted even more in the following, which is, John quotes Psalm 41:9, which reads, "He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." And in quoting that passage, John ultimately is going to be pointing back to his famous sixth chapter, which is the Eucharistic discourse. Because in that passage, John does something very subtle that you wouldn't pick up from just reading the Bible in English. And that is, he substitutes in a particular verb for the word ate. He takes out the verb to eat, and he substitutes in a verb which really would be translated literally to gnaw or to munch or to chew. It's the Greek verb trogo, and it's one which he uses in John chapter 6 when he's giving his bread of life discourse and says, "Unless you eat of my flesh and blood, you will not have eternal life." In other words, when John does that in chapter 6, he really is pointing to the physical reality of what the Eucharist is as the body, blood of Jesus Christ, and of what we do in our Eucharistic meal. And so it's really happening in the betrayal by pointing to the one who is dipping his bread into the cup to receive as Jesus has received from that same bread. It really is John projecting the betrayal of Judas to the sacramental community of the church, both in his time and for all generations to come. In other words, the people who literally eat the bread of Jesus, eat the bread of life in the Eucharist, but then turn around and betray him and stab him in the back. In other words, Jesus' betrayal isn't just of one time, but he really takes upon himself the betrayal of all the ages, of anyone who has ever eaten of the Eucharistic bread and then betrayed him. My brothers and sisters, I think today's liturgy in a very special way points to us that our relationship with Jesus is very real and it is very personal. And that goes both ways. It gives us the great consolation that Jesus has walked before us, that he's taken upon himself our sins, our sufferings, and he has redeemed them and touched them and healed them. But it also carries with it the other connotation, which is to say, in calling us his brothers and sisters, in calling us his friends, what we do in our lives very much matters. And we don't want to be the ones who have received him in the Eucharistic bread and then turn around and betray him through our sin. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this Wednesday of Holy Week, let us ask God for the grace that we would truly unite our lives completely with Christ, that we would find great hope and consolation in knowing that the Lord has gone before us and bears the weight of our life upon himself. But let us also ask for the grace that we would always perceive our friendship and relationship with Jesus to be something very real, personal, and concrete, and to know that we too can betray the Lord when we deliberately turn against him. And we ask for the grace that we would never do so. Amen.